Thank you very much.
No point.
Can someone put the microphone on? Rav Schechter spoke earlier tonight. It could be a burden for him to project loudly.
Okay.
Is there anyone here who can arrange to have the microphone put on?
Push a button. No, it's not the button.
Yeah. You don't have a Nobel Prize one? Okay. Physics?
Schechter wants to know if the Nobel Prize winner in physics is here.
Yeah.
Maybe you can help us.
Maybe that works. Oh, oh sure. Thank you. Sure. Sure. Okay. During the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Talmud records that on Sukkot there was a tremendous celebration of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the simple understanding of the historical background of this was that the institution of Nisuch HaMayim, pouring the water on the Mizbeach, does not appear in the Tanakh anywhere. And the Arav Olam Mizbeach institution also does not appear anywhere explicitly in Tanakh. These two institutions are only known through the Torah Shebaal Peh. And there were many tzedukim, baisusim, apikursim who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They didn't accept it. So the Chachamim made a tremendous tararam. They made a big fuss with pirsum, advertisement, to demonstrate that we do support the Torah Shebaal Peh, that we follow the Torah Shebaal Peh. And this is similar to the Mishnah in Menachos, where the Mishnah says that there were, again during the period of the Second Temple, the Tzedukim followed their interpretation of the Pshuto Shel Mikra, their reading of the Pshuto Shel Mikra, that Shavuos always falls out on a Sunday, that you start counting Sphira always on a Sunday, the Machas HaShabbos, and you count Sheva Shabbos as Tmima 7 full weeks, Sunday through Shabbos 7 times, and then after the 7 weeks are up, then you celebrate the holiday of Shavuos on a Sunday. A lot of the shtick from the tzedukim was carried over later by the early Christians. That's why by the Christians they celebrate Pentecost, the holiday of the 50th day, on a Sunday. Another shtick also, the Gemara quotes, different practices of the tzedukim were carried over later by the early Christians. So the Mishnah says that when the Chachamim would take care of the Ksiras HaOmer, they would make a big tararam. Most of the time the Ksiras HaOmer did not take place on a Matzoi Shabbos. Most of the odds were 6-1, it's not going to happen on a Matzoi Shabbos. So they made a big fuss every time, and especially when the Ksiras HaOmer took place on a Leil Shabbos, and the Omer was brought on Shabbos morning, so they made a big fuss about everything, and they would ask 3 times, should I cut the Omer? And he would say, yes. Should I use this? Should I cut the Omer? Yes. Should I cut the Omer? Yes. Should I use this sickle? Yes. Should I use this magol zeh? 3 times, everything 3 times. And if it would be on a Shabbos, then he would say, Shabbos Hayom, should I cut the grain? Even though it's Shabbos, they would say yes. Why would they repeat everything 3 times? For emphasis, to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh, that we don't follow the Tzedukim. That's why we have a practice in Shulchan Aruch, that when you do Hataras Nedarim, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Lechatchila, the Bezin should say 3 times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. What's wrong? Say once, Mutalach. What do you have to stutter? What do you have to say 3 times? Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So the explanation that the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Rishonim is because the whole institution of Hataras Nedarim doesn't appear really explicitly anywhere in Tanakh. And the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Chagigah refers to Het and Nedarim as Parchim Boavir. It's just transmitted from generation to generation orally. It's only transmitted through the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara there in the end of the first paragraph in Chagigah seems to present the Machlekes HaTanaim that the Mishnah says Het and Nedarim Parchim Boavir means that it's purely Torah Shebaal Peh. There isn't even a means whereby to derive Hataras Nedarim by reading in between the lines. There's so many drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh where you read in between the lines. So that's exactly the difference between a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and a drusha. Halacha Moshe Mitzina means a din deraisa. We have an oral tradition where there's no midah. Shatar nedrashes bem. There is no method whereby we can read this in between the lines of the Chumash. So the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga says, "Hetin adar parchem boavir." It's purely halacha Moshe Mitzina. Ve'elahem al-meshi yismochu. There's no method whereby you can read in between the lines. And then the Gemara says, other Tanaim disagree. Yeshlem al-meshi yismochu. And one Tana has a drasha from a pasuk in Chumash, the other one has a pasuk in Navi, the other one has a pasuk in Tilim. And Ksuvim, different psukim with different Tanoim have drashas. So it seems to be a machlokes HaTorah. But L'chol HaDeis HaTorah and Dharm is Torah Sheba'al Peh. It just seems to be a machlokes HaTorah, whether it's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, or it's a drasha where you read in between the lines. So the practices that we say Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach three times for emphasis, to insist that we subscribe to the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that the Tzedukim, the Baisusim from the period of the Bais Sheni, probably, the Talmud doesn't record it, probably would not hold from the HaTorah and Dorim institution. Just parenthetically, our practices, perhaps it's an error, our practices that the Beis Din does the HaTorah and Dorim nine times. They say, Mutalach, 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 En kam lai nerav lai shuva lai chem lai nidva lai kairam lai sham vesh kan ara. Then we say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Hakom l'torim l'cha, Hakol shurim l'cha. So we say that three times. And each time you say it, say it three times. So what do you have to say, nine times? That's what the Achranim say. They think it's a mistake. That it says in the Siddur that you should say that Pizman three times. Well, you have to say the Pizman itself says three times. Hakol l'chulim l'cha, Hakol shurim l'cha, Hakol l'torim l'cha. So if you say it once, you already said three times. That could well be that that's a mistake. So the reason why we say three times the HaTorah and Dorim is patterned after the Mishnah in Menachos, where the Mishnah says that when they did the Tzeiros HaOmer, they did with a big fanfare, with a big pirsum, to emphasize the fact that we do subscribe to the Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Tzedukim didn't believe in any of these institutions of Tzeiros HaOmer and Nisach HaMayim, and Rav Alam Izbeach and Chachamim did, so they felt that it's important to make a piersum to emphasize the fact we do subscribe to the Torah Sheba'al Peh. When did all of the trouble begin? When did the people start with the apikursis? So the Mishnah in Brachos makes a statement, Mishikil Kalu Haminim, when the apikursim started to tanz, as one would say in Yiddish, and they were denying that there's such an institution as Olam Haba. The Skinus and the Chachamim introduced them in the Beis HaMikdash. Whenever one recites a bracha, they should incorporate in the bracha, bracha ta Hashem min ho'olam ad ho'olam. Mogen Abraham, whatever. Bracha ta Hashem min ho'olam ad ho'olam, hakel ha'kadosh. What do you have to say min ho'olam ad ho'olam? To emphasize the fact that we do believe in Olam Haba. Olam Haba you don't have to believe in. We're here. Everybody can feel it. You can touch. But Olam Haba we can't see, we can't perceive. So they emphasize min ha'olam ad ha'olam that they do believe in Olam Haba. So when was this Mishikil Kol HaMinim? What point was this? The Bais Sheni lasted for several centuries. So when did this change occur? When we have historically recorded Mishikil Kol HaMinim? So the Mefarshim and Mishnais point out it was the first day that the Holy Temple was open for services. It was open on Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk says that they gave Ezra was a kohen and they got the first aliyah and they learned Kriyas HaTorah. And exactly the way we learn Kriyas HaTorah, that's exactly the way it's described in the book of Nehemiah, Perek Ches, pattern after the Kriyas HaTorah that took place there. And the pasuk quotes the Nusach HaBracha that they said Min Ha'olam HaHa'olam. So from day number one was already Mishkil Kulu Haminim. That's what the Mefarshim point out on the Mishnayos. It's very interesting. Very interesting. The Talmud has an interpretation on the prophecy in the Nevuah of Zechariah. Rashi writes Zechariah is Zechariah Malachi are the last three of the Treyosor. It's not a separate sefer. The whole Treyosor is a separate sefer. Zechariah is one of the Treyosor Nevi. So Rashi writes in his opening comment on Nevuah Zechariah that Zechariah's prophecies are the most obscure in Tanakh, the most difficult to understand, and if you don't have a tradition of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, you don't begin to understand what's going on. Flying horses and roses and all kinds of wild things, and you don't know what the Mishalim are. So there is a very strange prophecy in Zechariah. These three prophets, Chagas, Chaim, Malachi, were all contemporaries. They were all there at the beginning of the period of the Bai Sheni. There's a problem there. Also, Ezra, in the book of Ezra, he keeps on referring to his two Chaverim, Haggai and Zechariah. How come he never refers to Malachi? If they were all there at the same time. So Chazal say the answer is that that was he. Malachi is Ezra, the same person. So these three were contemporaries, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Ezra only refers to the other two because he was the third one. He was the Malachi. He was the Novi Malachi. And the Gemara says that Rabban Shalom is really angry at Klal Yisrael because he gave them the ability to return back to Eretz Yisrael from Golus Babel. The 70 years of Golus Babel were up, and they had an opportunity, everyone had an opportunity to come back. They had permission from the Goyish government, and most of the religious Jews did not go back. The Tzionim, the Zionists who went back to Eretz Yisrael at that time with them, Mamzerim and Achalolim and Agerim and Meshuchrorim, and the Shtuki, Asufi, all of the Kavadik Miyuchasim. Like in recent years, the people who came to Eretz Yisrael, the Zionists, but most of the religious Jews decided they wanted to stay home. They weren't interested in going. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Yomah, the Rabban Shalom is really very angry at Bnei Yisrael, and he decided he's not going to send any more Nevi'im to Bnei Yisrael, but his hands were tied. He had to send the three Nevi'im, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, because he wanted to have a Beis HaMikdash built. And the halacha requires the Sheikh Nesidush of Asa Shama Drosh Al Pinovi. If you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, you cannot just figure out archaeologically where it's supposed to be and have experts say how to design it and so on. You have to have authorization of a Novi. So they had to have Chodshi, at least one Novi. So the Bnei Shalom sent these three Nevi'im, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, and the Gemara says each one testified on one aspect of the binyan of the Bayi Sheni, and the Tziruf, all three together, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, they were authorized to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Nevuah, one of the difficult Nevuahs in the book of, in the Nevuah of Zechariah, it's not a separate book, it's part of the Treyosar, one of the difficult Nevuahs, he talks about some kind of an animal that they succeeded in trapping in a metal container, and no one knows what's going on. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Yuma, that the animal that they succeeded, who is they who succeeded in trapping the animal? So the Gemara says, Danshei Knesset HaGdolah, the group of 120 Chachamim who were at that time the beginning of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. What does the animal represent? What do they trap? The Risho, the physical embodiment of evil. What's the physical embodiment of evil? So the Gemara says the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. That for years and years and years, from the times of the Matan Torah, there was a tremendous Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, and Perek Chelek, that one of the Amaroim was giving a shiur on Tanakh, and he was complaining about the kings in Tanakh. Terrible, they robbed the Avodah Zarah. What kind of people are they? We don't worship Avodah Zarah. Look how terrible they were. So one of the other, so they gave him Musar. He had a dream, and they gave him Musar in the dream. You shouldn't speak negatively about these kings who worshipped Avodah Zarah. If you would have been alive at that time, you would have picked up your kapot, and you would have also run to worship Avodah Zarah. You don't know what it's like to have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Today, people have the Yetzirah for all kinds of other things. We know what we have the Yetzirah for. But the people in this group, I doubt, have the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says that that's after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah succeeded in abolishing the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But originally there was such a tremendous Yetzirah. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah with the Koach HaTfilah succeeded in abolishing that Yetzirah. So if there's no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, so what's the challenge in living? So the Gemara says, no, at that time a new Yetzirah came down, a Yetzirah for Apikursis. So this success of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in abolishing the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah occurred apparently at the time of the Binyan Bayi Sheni, right about that time, at the beginning of the building of the Bayi Sheni. That's when they succeeded in being the Vatal Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And from that time on, there was a new Yetzer Hara for Minus, for Apikorsim. So that's what the Mishnah says. Mishikil Kalu Haminim, when the Apikorsim were denying that there's such an institution as Olam Haba, Iskinu Chachamim, the Chachamim introduced that you should say in every Nusach HaBaruch that's recited in the Beis HaMikdash, Baruch Atah Hashem Min Ha'olam Yad Ha'olam, to be Mechazik Ve'amun and Olam Haba. That was day number one. And Bayi Sheni was riddled with Apikorsim from the very outset, from the very beginning. The Talmud only records, I think, one of the Rabbanim wrote in his Sefer, he collected all of the cases in the Gemara where they record the machloikis and the, if you can call it that, the disputes between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. So I think all told it's only 16 cases. Well, Sach HaKol it's only 16 that he recorded, but there must have been hundreds, because almost every Sefer in Shulchan Aruch is based on Torah Sheval Peh. The big issues with Tziras Ha'emer and Hataras Nadarim and these kind of things. But Al Pi Pashtus, there must have been many more machlokes. The Gemara Kiddushin has an interesting statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Latera Tavman. Rabbanu Shel Olam says, I created a Yetzirah, but I created, that's like a sickness that people have that causes them to sin. But he says, Barashi la Torah Tavlin, and I wrote a Torah and I gave the Jewish people a Torah that if they learn the Torah, that'll serve as the antidote, that'll serve as the medication that you'll be able to control the Yetzirah. If a person learns Torah, he can control the Yetzirah. So let's say when someone is sick, so for every sickness they recommend taking aspirin. Doesn't matter whether you have a bellyache or you have a headache or you have Rahman al Islam, someone has cancer, whatever you have, you take an aspirin and it gets better. A million different, you go to the drugstore, there are a million different kinds of medications. So it depends what the sickness is. So here also, if there's a different Yetzirah, so you have to have a different Torah tablet. So it would appear that the Iker tablet of the Torah changed during the first Kufa, from Maimon HaSinai till the beginning of the period of the Bayi Sheni, when the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was still betokfa before the Hemshech Tes HaGdolo succeeded in abolishing it. So the Iker Torah Tavlin that they had to serve as an antidote was really the Torah Shebichsav. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Divrei Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, and the Tanakh was being put together by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, by the Rabbanim, they had the Koach to add on. And then the Seder Olam, which is a history book authored by Rav Yossi, the Gemara quotes the Tana Rav Yossi Mechalavta, the Gemara quotes every so often lines from the Seder Olam. So this is one of the lines that's not quoted by the Gemara, but it's also authored by the same Tana. So in the Seder Olam, Rabbi Yossi writes, Mishenesu Nevi'im Achreinim Chagas Chaim Malachi, after they died, Botlu Nevuah Miyisrael. There's no more prophecy. Umikan V'yelech, and from now on, it says in the Seder Olam, Hatos Nechol Shmadi V'chachamim. From this time on, it's important to pay more attention to the Torah Shebal Peh. And that's how the Gemara says in Bava Basra, and they're midrashim like that, based on Psukim and Novi. Mishnayis represents Torah Shebal Peh. That the Iker Limud today is supposed to be in Torah Shebal Peh. The Iker Limud years ago during the period of the Bais Rishon was Torah Shebichsav. There was always Torah Shebal Peh. The Mishnayis record some of the drushes that were developed. The Zu Medrash Dorosh Yehoyada HaKoyen. Yehoyada HaKoyen is a biblical figure, and the Mishnah Shkolin quotes a drusha that he made. There are many drushes that were made during the period of the Bais Rishon, but the Iker Limud during that period of time was in Torah Shebichsav, because apparently the antidote for the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah has to be paying attention mostly to the Torah Shebichsav. And then after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah succeeded in abolishing that Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, now it's a new Yetzirah, so you have to have a different refuah. Every machlas has to have a different refuah. So that's what the Seder Olam says. Mikan liyelach nada mishemesu chagas chaim alachi hatoz nechol shmad dirich hachomim. Now the Iker Limud should be in Torah Shebal Peh. That's how the Gemara Brochus has that one of the Tanoim instructed his students minu b'neichem min ha'higoyon. And Rashi translates, a famous Rashi translates, you should prevent your children from learning Torah Shebichsav. Don't emphasize so much Tanakh. Doesn't mean like today, the yeshivas, many yeshivas is totally neglected. That doesn't make any sense at all. The whole basis of our religion is on Tanakh. It's not just enough to be able to rattle off the 24 books of the Tanakh. or the 12, the names of the 12 prophets of the Treyosha. You have to know what it says there also. You have to know Chumash, you have to know Nevi'im, you have to know Ksuv. But the main emphasis in the Limud, in Sefer HaLimud, should be, and these days should be in Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what the Gemara says, that the Ein Yisrael Negol Melech B'Zchus Limud HaMishnayis. Gam, the Pasuk in Novi says, Gam Ki Yitnu Bagoyim Atu Akapta. Yitnu is Miloshim Masnisim. If they learn Mishnayis, Atu Akapta, the Rosh Hashanah promises, will make the Kibbutz Goyim. And apparently it would appear from the Gemara that the reason why the Iker emphasis today is supposed to be on the Limud Torah Shabbat Peh is because we're working today with a different Yetzirah. If you have a different sickness, you need a different refuah, you need a different drug. So today, the antidote, the Torah Tavlin, apparently has to be the Torah Shebaal Peh. We believe, as it says in the Chumash quite a few times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shmartem Mitzvah Sai, the Chukos Sai, the Torah Soi, in the plural. So Rashi always explains from the Tanaim, Torah Osoi in the plural means Shtei Torahs, Achas Torah Shebechzav, V'Achas Torah Shebapeh. There are two Torahs. So we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us both of the Torahs. The Rambam, in his introduction to his commentary on Mishnayos, divides the Torah Shebapeh into different categories. He says there are different sections to the Torah Shebapeh. So he writes that there's one area that's clearly Torah Shebapeh, that's Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah in the end of the first paragraph, Chagigah, coined an expression, Parchas Bo'avir, a din that's just transmitted orally from one generation to the other, floating in the air, because the words just float. The wave sounds are just floating. There's no way to derive it by reading in between the lines in the Pesukim. Then there's another part of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the drushes. The drushes, how come here it's in the singular, here it's in the plural? Here it's the Zohar, here it's the Kevah, here it's the construction is a little strange. Follow Prata Klal, and so on. All the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes them, how the Chachamim read in between the lines of the Chumash in order to kvetch ois more dinim. It's interesting, the issue of the Nisuch HaMayim is a big dispute in the Gemara. There are three different opinions. What is the source of this, if at all? Is there any source in Chumash for the Nisuch HaMayim institution? So the Gemara quotes three different opinions among the Tanaim. One Tana says that it's Halacha L'Moshe Mishnayis. The Gemara quotes Nisuch HaMayim and Arava L'Mizbeach and Tosefes Shviyis, Esenetiyis, and Tosefes Shmitah. It's purely Halacha L'Moshe Mishnayis. The next two Tanaim disagree and they say it's not true, that Nisuch HaMayim is not Halacha L'Moshe Mishnayis. That would be Parchas Bo'avir Ba'im Lahem HaMeshi Yismochu. It's not just that it's transmitted orally from generation to generation, there's no way to derive it from the Pesukim. Not true. The other two Tanaim disagree. They say, no, there is a source, there is a method to derive it by fetching in between the Pesukim, but they have a disagreement. What is the source? So one Tanaim says the source is that it says, Unisocheho. On the Yom HaShishi, it says, Unisocheho, in the plural. So it refers to the two Nisuchim when you bring the Tomit Shal Shachar in the morning, each day of Sukkot. So the Hakrovas HaTamid is Mechayev, normally Hakrovas HaTamid is Mechayev in Nisuch HaYayin. And on the occasion of Sukkot, on the end of Sukkot, Hakrovas HaTamid is Mechayev in both Nisuch and Nisuch HaMayim as well as Nisuch HaYayin. And the third Tana is of the opinion that it's based on the Oisiyas of Mem Yud Mem. This is not a Balaturim, it's not a Chassidish Rebbe speaking, this is one of the Tanaim and the Gemara says. That it says, in one Pasuk it says, that, what does it say? The other pasuk says Unasachehu, you have an extra yud, and the other pasuk says Kimishpatam, you have an extra mem. So you have a mem yud mem that spells out mine. The Gemara points out that there are differences halacha l'maisa, then afkaminis ladina, whether you hold that it's halacha l'maisa v'sinai, or you hold that it's a drasha. There is a Gemara in the end of Zvachim. The last two prokim in Zvachim talk about shechet bachutz and mala bachutz. There are two prohibitions in Parshas Hamor. One is not permitted to shech the korban chutz la'azara. One is not permitted to be makar of the korban on a bama, chutz la'mizbeach. And if one does so one is chayv kares. So it's a serious aver. If one violates an aver b'shegeg, which if he would have violated the neder, it would have been kares, so the din requires us to bring a korban chatos. So the Gemara has a machlokes satanayim in the end of Zochim. What if one does nisuch hamayim? Chutz lazar, person makes a boma, and he starts pouring water, amanasach mayim bechag, meyachag bechag. He pours nisach hamayim on a boma, chutz la'azara. Is he chayv kares b'mezid? The Bezim Shalmaila will determine that, but is he chayv chatas b'shegek? If he did it, if he's chayv kares b'mezid, then he's chayv chatas b'shegek. If he's not chayv kares b'mezid, then he's not chayv chatas b'shegek. So the Gemara sounds like it says that it depends on the machlekes ha'tanaim. What is the source? What is the source for nisach ha'mayim? Why does it depend what the source is? So Tosfos says they don't understand the Gemara. Why should it make a difference? So there's a famous Pirush HaMishnayos La Rambam at the end of Slachim where the Rambam explains. He says he knows the Pshat and the Gemara. So the Rambam writes something very fascinating. He says that if the whole korban of nisach ha'mayim is only known through halacha l'moshe misinai, it cannot be that there's koris on that. There's no punishment of koris on any halacha l'moshe misinai. A flat statement. There's never any koris has to say chumash at this koris. Eat on Yom Kippur, eat chumash b'pesach, you do malocha b'shabbos. That's koris, says in chumash. V'chule, v'chule. All the lamed vav krisus amoris bater. But there's no way to develop a koris yesh me'ayin if something's only known through halacha l'moshe misinai. How can you say that there's koris on that? Masheni Kein the Rambam says, if one should assume that the existence of this korban of nisach ha'mayim is not based on purely halacha l'moshe misinai, but it's based on a drasha for the midrash ha'tanya drashas bam, either the mem yud mem or the unis socheho, the plural. So then the Rambam says, according to those two tanoim, it's shaykh that there should be koris. That's a drasha. So it's shaykh that there would be korisana. Very interesting, Rambam. There's such a fascinating run in Masechet Shabbos, writes about the nature of the din of Marvid Alanamas Bishus Arabim. The Gemara says that all of the 39 malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos and on Yom Tov we have a Heterach on Nevesh, but basically when there's no Heterach on Nevesh, all the 39 malachas on Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, how do we establish which activities are included in the list of malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, whatever was in the Mishkan. That's what the Gemara says on the first daf in Baba Kama. Whatever was some significant activity in Asiyas HaMishkan constitutes an Amalach. So the Gemara says all 39 activities were there b'shas Asiyas HaMishkan. Carrying Dalan Amas b'shus Aram, the Gemara says, didn't exist in the Mishkan. So where did it come from? So why is it forbidden at all? So the Gemara says, Gemara Gemiri Lo. And the Balei HaTesis learned Gemara Gemiri Lo, that's a question what that expression means. So Rashi and Tesis and the Rosh always translate Gemara Gemiri Lo means that that's also Halacha L'moshe Misina. The Gemara sometimes says Halacha L'moshe Misina, Gemara sometimes says Gemara Gemiri Lo. So the Tesis and Rashi and the Rosh always assume that they're Tainuach. Gemara Gemiri Lo is the same. The Netziv points out in his Hakdomah to his long commentary on the Shiltas, he has a very beautiful Hakdomah that's called Kidmas HaEmet. Originally, when the first volume of the Netziv's commentary on the Shiltas was published on Bereshis and Shmos, so he published the first third of the introduction in Europe when it was printed. Then when he printed a second volume on Vayikra, so he printed the second third of the introduction. Then when he printed the third volume on Bamidbar and Dvarim, he printed the third installment of the introduction. The second is a Hemshach of the first, and the third installment is a Hemshach of the second. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the Masada Rav Kook printed the whole Hagdamah together. That's how it belongs. They printed all the three parts of the Hagdamah. So it looks very funny. Why is Kidmas HaEmek, Aleph Kidmas HaEmek, why is Aleph Beis Gimel? Every paragraph goes with a number, but they just reprinted it the way it was printed originally in Europe. They just put all the three parts of the introduction together on one book. So it looks funny now why there's a Kidmas HaEmek HaRishon, Kidmas HaEmek HaSheni, and Kidmas HaEmek HaShlishi. Anyway, that introduction is not so much an introduction to the Shiltas or an introduction to his commentary on the Shiltas, than it's his commentary. It's rather an introduction to the whole body of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So he talks a lot what the Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. And he has many side points, many footnotes there. So one of his side points is on this topic. What is the expression Gemara Gemiri Lami? So he points out the Rambam in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos, the beginning of Brachas, divides all of Torah Shebaal Peh into five different parts. And then he says the first part is Halacha L'moshe Misinai, and he's going to give you a full list of all of the Halachas L'moshe Misinai. And the list is by far not complete. And the Chabad Yoyer has a famous tshuva where he says the Rambam left out two-thirds of the list. He only has one-third. Many, many, many more halachas from Moshe Mitzrayim. He quotes all the Gemaras all over the place. So then Tziv points out that he gets the impression from the Rambam that whenever it says Gemara, Gemiri Lo, the Rambam understood that that does not mean halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. The Rambam left out every single Gemara that the Gemara says Gemara, Gemiri Lo, the Rambam doesn't include it in the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. This thing, when you look in the Mishnah Torah Lo Rambam, when he quotes such a Gemara that says this is Gemara, Gemiri Lo, the Rambam will write, Lipi Hashmua Lomdu. So what does that mean? So then it says what it means is Gemara, Gemiri Lo, the Gemara always discusses what is the source for the dinim that appear in the Mishnayos. Where does it say? So the Gemara either quotes a pasuk in Tanakh, or the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Nexa Drasha, catches us reading in between the lines, or the Gemara will sometimes say Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, have an oral tradition, or the Gemara will sometimes say Gemara, Gemiri Lo means we have a tradition that this was derived from reading in between the lines, this was derived generations earlier, but we forgot what the source is. He says that's how the Rambam apparently understood Gemara Gemiri Lo Min Pi Hashmua Lomdu, means that the rabbis a few centuries ago established this din by reading, by fetching us from reading in between the lines, and at the time that the Talmud Babli was written, they forgot what exactly the source is, but that's not called Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim means when there's no redness in the pasuk, when there's no Migdash Hatorah Nidreshes then to figure it out. So the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnah at the end of his Zvachim writes that there's a major difference between the first Tana and the next two Tana. According to the first Tana, that Nisach HaMayim is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that one would do Nisach HaMayim Chutz L'Beis HaMikdash, there would not be any chorus. You can't have any chorus on Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So the Ran in Masechet Shabbos seems to say something very similar to the Rambam. The Ran is commenting on this Gemara, where the Gemara says all the 39 malachas were in the Mishkan, except for carrying Dalan Amos B'Shusher Amos. So the Gemara says, what is it based on? So the Gemara says, Gemara Gemiri Lo. So Rashi and Tosfos learn, Gemara Gemiri Lo means Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the Ran also learns like that. Perhaps the Netziv is right, perhaps the Rambam did not understand like that. Perhaps the Rambam understood Gemara Gemiri Lo means that this was established many years earlier based on some kind of Midrash HaTorah Reshes Ben, which was forgotten in the later generations. But Rashi and Tosfos, the regular standard Rishonim, learned that Gemara Gemiri Lo means the same as Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So the Ran has a famous comment on the Mishnah on Daf and Gimel in Masechet Shabbos, where the Mishnah lists off all of the 39 Ovis Malachas. So the Ran says, what kind of a halacha l'moshe misinai is this, carrying Dalet Amos B'Shusharan? What's the nature of this halacha l'moshe misinai? So he says, Ran postulates a klal, on halacha l'moshe misinai, you never get any malchus, you never get any misa, and there's never any chorus. How does he know? There's never any malchus, that we could have figured out also, because malchus you only get if you violate an avera that's similar to Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha, because in Chumash Dvorim, we dash in smuchim, and the pasuk v'hayon din akosa rasha appears right next to the pasuk Allah sachs m'shar b'dishin. So the Gemara says that's the assumption of all the tanoim, that in order to get malchus you have to violate an aver that's similar to the sachs m'shar b'dishin. Has to be similar in the style, the way it's written in the chumash, and similar in the nature of the aver. So if it's halacha l'moshe mitzrayim, it's not written at all in the chumash. So there, Rashi writes like that. Everybody agrees to that. When you have an Issa that's only known through Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, there isn't going to be any Malkus. That we understand because it's not similar to Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha. Well, how does the Ran know that on Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim there's no Misa? There's no rule where you get Misa. On Malkus, there's a rule. It has to be similar to Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha. On Misa, there is no rule. So why can't there be Misa? If Mavad Al Ramas Bishus Ramas Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, why can't there be Misa? Why can't there be Koris? The Ran poses a question. If one carries Dalet Amos B'Shusharam B'Shogeg, on Shabbos it's Chai V'Chatos, how can it be Chai V'Chatos? Why there's no Koris B'Nezit? So how can there be, how does he know there's no Koris? If you violate Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So apparently the Ran is making an assumption over here along the lines of that Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that on Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim you never have any Onshin. A general rule, no Onshin at all. No Koris and no Misa. And no Malkus, not only no Malkus because it's not similar to the Sachs Moshe B'Disha. No Onshim at all. So that's why he's bothered with the question, how can it be over here by Mavad Al Ramis? He do have. On Yom Tov, one is Mavad Al Ramis, he'll get Malkus. On Shabbos, he'll get Misa. If he does it, the Nezid Beli Hasra, he'll be Chayt Koris, and if he does Bishagik, he'll be Chayt Chatos. So how can it be? So the man explains, it's a different kind of halacha l'Moshe Misina. The halacha l'Moshe Misina, he declares that every person who's Mavad Al Ramis is considered as if he's Motim Mishus L'Shus, and he gives a whole elaboration on that, why that should be the case. But it's interesting that the Ran is making the same assumption. He doesn't refer to this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the end of Zvachim, but he's making the same assumption that we never give any onshim on a halacha l'moshe misina. Not only no malchus, there's no kores, and there's no miso. It's interesting, Rav Avvalo Soloveitchik points out that there seems to be a difference between the other two Tanaim as well. The two Tanaim who feel that Nisach HaYayin is not halacha l'moshe misinai, but one says it's learned out from the men yud mem, and the other Tana says it's learned out from the words unis tocheho, that the hakrobas tomis al shachar is mechayv in two nisuch, and all year long hakrobas tomis is mechayv only in one nisuch, and on sukkis hakrobas tomis al shachar is mechayv in two nisuch. So there seem to be two differences. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses what the din of a sefer wrote a sefer Torah. And we know that there's a mem psuch and there's a mem stumah. When the mem appears in the middle of a word, it's written one way. If the mem appears at the end of the word, then it's written ashlos mem. Mem sofit, it's written differently. What if the sefer made a mistake and he only knows how to write a box? He only knows how to write a mem sofit. He puts, every time there's a mem chumish, he puts a mem sofit. So the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that it's possible. The sefer Torah, the tefillin, and the mezuzah are possible. Because the pasuk says in Kriyas Shema Uchsav Tom Al Mezuzas Deisech B'Sharecha, so the Gemara makes a drasha Uchsav Tom Pashe Pshat Uchsav Tom Uchsav Tem Osam. You should write this parsha. You should write all the words in this parsha. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. Uchsav Tom means a ksiva tam, that it should be a nice ksav. That is, if the Chacham writes a mem sofit instead of a mem psucha instead of a mem stuma. So the whole Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah will be possible. So the Gemara says, that's only what that Tana says, that's how we possible, that's how that Tana says. But there's a Tana who disagrees, the Tana who darshins mem yud mem. What do you mean? But the first mem was viniskehem. So you're using a mem sofis to write the word mayim. So, you know, we always thought that there's a remez, an asmachta, like a balatur, machsidish ereb averkul. The Gemara takes it seriously. The Gemara says, no, it's not an asmachta. This is the drosha, the mem yud mem. And the fact that the Tana uses a mem sofis for the first mem, for the first letter of the word mayim, is an indication that he disagrees with the other. Tana holds that if you write a sefer Torah, and you put a mem stuma where it was supposed to be a mem psucha, it'll be kosher. It'll be kosher b'diyevet. Hatzilah not. Otherwise, if he would hold that it's possible, so he wouldn't be able to darshan mem yud mem to indicate mayim. So the Gemara says, well, the other Tana, who learns it out from an istochero, or the other Tana who says that it's halacha l'moshe misina, he can say the way we paskin, that if you put a mem stuma where it didn't belong, where there's supposed to be a mem psucha, then it will be puzzled together. That's how we assume l'halach. So the Gemara says this, nafkamina l'dina, whether you're darshaning, if you darshan mem, you'd mem, then you're subscribing to the theory that if you put a mem stuma instead of a mem psucha, it'll be a kosher sefer Torah b'diyevet. It's interesting, Rav Avvalo Soloveitchik points out that the Yerushalmi has several sveikis regarding Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. The din normally is, let's say we brought a Korban Tamei today on a normal Sunday and we didn't have any wine to pour the Nisach HaYayin. So do you say, Ova Yoma Batul Korbana? So the Gemara says, no, we learn that from a Pasuk, Menachas Meniskeim Afilu Mikan Bar Asara Yomim. You can bring the Nisach HaYayin for today's Korban, you can bring it 10 days later. And the Gemara even has a discussion. Today is Sunday, so the Shir Shal Yom, the Levim are supposed to sing a Shir Shal Yom when the Kohanim are pouring the wine for the Nisach HaYayin. So what if they're going to bring the Nisach HaYayin for today's Tamid Shal Shachar in another 3 weeks on a Wednesday? So which Shir Shal Yom do they say? Wednesdays or Sundays? So the Gemara is not sure. A discussion in the Gemara. So Ken Nochzan, you're going to bring a Nisach HaYayin on Wednesday and say a Sunday Shir Shalyam, because this belongs to 5 Sundays ago. It belongs to 20 years ago. We forgot to do a Nisach HaYayin, so we'll bring it another 20 years when we'll Nedetzach Damona. So the Rishami raises a question, does the Nisach HaMayim have to really take place on Sukkot? Maybe you can say, Tfilu Mikan Rara Asar Yamin. They'll do Nisach HaMayim on Chanukah to make up for the lack of doing Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. Is that legitimate? So Yishami is not sure. So Rav Elbelin says, Yishami meant to say, which drosha are you learning out from? If you're learning out from Unisochero, if the source for the Nisach HaMayim is from the Pasuk Unisochero, then it has the same din as the Nisach HaYayin. Nisach HaYayin is the din Mikan Bar Asar Yamin. You can bring it 10 days later, you can bring it 10 months later, you can bring it 10 years later. It doesn't make sense. I mean, they didn't find any water in 10 years. By then, they'll already get some water. So a couple of days later. So it's possible to fulfill, according to the opinion that Nisach HaMayim, the source for the institution, the source for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, is from the word Unisachero. So just like you can do the Nisach HaYayin after Sukkot is over, we'll say Havdalah, after Simchas Torah, and then we'll do the Nisach HaYayin, so you can do the Nisach HaMayim also after Sukkot is over. But if you learn out from the Mem Yud Mem, it's not a word that this is the Nisach that comes Machmas Korban HaTomin. Not that Hakrovas HaTomin is Mechayiv and Nisach, and Nisach can be done whenever you have an opportunity, whenever Azman Da Monsach. No! We learn out Mem Yud Mem that it's Hakrovas HaYayin. And if you didn't do the Nisach HaMayim today, it's Ava Yom HaBakul Korbanah. So that's the Sufik in Yerushalmi. Similarly, the Yerushalmi had a Sufik. What if the Kohanim were eager beavers and they run and they do the Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach before they shech the tummy, before they makrib the tummy? So what if they'll do Nisach HaYayin before they makrib the tummy? They won't be yotze with that. That'll be a nice carbon, Nisach HaYayin. You can bring Yayin as a carbon b'fnei atzmo. But then, if they first did Nisach HaYayin on a regular day, not on Sukkot, if they first do Nisach HaYayin, and then they do Hakrovas HaTameh, it's after they do Hakrovas HaTameh, that's Mechayiv to do Nisach HaYayin again. They weren't yet with the first Nisach HaYayin, they weren't yet Nischaivu in the Nisach HaYayin until they do the Hakrovas HaTameh. So that's the also a topic in the Yerushalmi. What would the din be? We know what the Seder HaDvarim is. The Seder HaDvarim is Lechatchila first to bring the Tameh Shel Shachar, then you do the Nisach HaMayim and the Nisach HaYayin simultaneously. You have two Kohanim pouring, each one pouring with his right hand, not like this, with the right hand and left hand. You have to have a right-handed Kohanim pouring with their right hand. A left-handed Kohen can't do Avodah. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Rashi has two pshatim. Why? One pshat is that he's a Balmum. Heartbreaking. Yeah, Kohen, lefty is a Balmum. It's very hard to believe. Then there's a Mishnah that says that if a boy married a girl and he didn't know that the girl had a mum, so it's an issue of Kiddushit Toys. So what constitutes a mum? So the Mishnah says, whatever is a mum for Kohanim is a mum for marriage. Meaning, the girl was a lefty. The boy didn't know that the girl was a lefty. It's Kiddush that says something wrong, it can't be. But that's why we usually assume not like that pshat in Rashi, that a left-handed coin is Nishkin Bal Mum. It's not a mum. It's a din. The avodah has to be done with the right hand, and the right hand means this side of the body. It has to be the stronger of the two arms. So if he's a lefty, he simply doesn't have alpidin. He doesn't have a right hand. Because it has to be the right hand, this side of the body, plus it should be the stronger of the two arms. That's why a left-handed kohen can't do avodah. It's hard to say that a left-handed person is a balmum. The two pshatim in Rashi. So again, so the Yerushalmi has a safe, what if the, normally the Seder HaDvarim is that after they bring the Tamei Shel Shachar, two right-handed kohanim will pour the Nisach HaMayim and the Nisach HaYayin down the pipes on the Mizbeach, down the sheets, and simultaneously. So Yishalmi raises the question, what would the din be b'diyevet? Normally, lechatzkila, we know that's the Seder HaDvarim. What would the din be b'diyevet if they poured the Nisach HaMayim before they offered the Tamei Shel Shachar? Is it a chayves hayayim? So even if you bring it before the Tamei Shel Shachar, it's also good, like if a person brought the Musaf before the Tamei Shel Shachar. B'diyevet, it says that it's good. So the Nisach HaMayim can take place before, it'll also be good b'diyevet. Or should I say no? It's learned out from Unisachero. If you do the Nisach HaYayim before you do the Tamei Shel Shachar, it'll be a kosher and Nisach HaYayim. It'll be an acceptable carbon. But you won't be out to the mitzvah of Unisachero. I mean, Chasman is Ken Kemeduber. First you have to bring the Tamei Shel Shachar, then become Nischaiv and the Nisach HaYayim, and then bring the Yayim. You can't bring the Yayim before the Tamei and be yotze with that chiyuv. So that's these two sveikas in the Yerushalmi. Can you do the nisach hamayim on Chanukah months later, and be, can you do it on Purim? Do you say that just like nisach hayayim can be done weeks later and months later, so too nisach hamayim can also be done months later? Or does it have to dafke be done on Sukkah? So these two shaydas in Yerushalmi. What if you did the nisach hamayim before the akrav of Tom Shel Shachar? And can you do it next week after Sukkot is over? So Rav Davila Soloveitchik explains in the Shiurim that this depends on these two opinions in the Tanaim. Whether the drasha, whether the mocker for Nisach HaMayim is the Pasuk on the Sachera, or the mocker is the Pasuk, the Men Yudem. So it really is crucial which is the source of the institution of Nisach HaMayim. Is it known through Halacha Moshe Nisina? Is it known through the Sachera? Or is it known through the Mem Yud Mem with the, all of the Nachkeminis Lahaloch? There is another difference Lahaloch in general between a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and a Din of the Torah Shabbat Peh, which we darshan by reading in between the lines. There is a Gemara in the end of the first parak in Kedushin where the Gemara discusses the institution of Orla b'chutz l'aretz. The pasuk in Chumash says in Parshas Kedushin, "Kisavoy al ha'aretz and etatem kol eitz meichel." When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you plant a tree. Ma'aralt ma'alosa shalva shana ma'arem yolachem bo yeyachol v'ashana arviz yiyah kol piri kodesh elulam Hashem. There's a din of Orla. What about Orla b'chutz l'aretz? There's no pasuk in Chumash. It says kisavoy al ha'aretz. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin says that all of the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Kli Yavoz only applies in Eretz Yisrael, except for Orla. Chutz min ha'orla. Orla applies even in chutz l'aretz. So the Gemara says, where did this come from? In the pasuk in Chumash, it only says that Orla applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has a machlokes amarayim. One amar is of the opinion that Orla b'chutz l'aretz only mid rabbanan, hilchas medina. And one Amir is of the opinion that Arla B'chutz L'aretz is Halacha Moshe Nisina. That's how the Rambam followed that. So the Gemara says there should be a big difference. What's the din of Sofek? What if you have a fruit in Chutz L'aretz? And you're not sure whether it's Arla or not. See, if Arla B'chutz L'aretz is only with the Rabbanon, so you should say Sofek the Rabbanon L'kula. But if Arla B'chutz L'aretz is Halacha Moshe Nisina, it means that it's Deraisa. The Sofek Arla B'chutz L'aretz should be L'chumra. And the din is, there's a Mishnah that says the Mishnah is Arla. That Sofek Arla B'chutz L'aretz is Mutter. How can it be mutter if it's halacha Moshe Nisina? Should be suffik deraisa l'chumra. So the Gemara answers kach ne'emar halacha. That's a part of the package of the halacha Moshe Nisina. Vada aser sveika mutter. That the suffik arlo b'chutz l'aretz is mutter is part of the halacha Moshe Nisina. So the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos attacks the Rambam very strongly. That the Rambam understood that Gemara suffik arlo b'chutz l'aretz mutter. Kach nemer halacha. That's part of the package of the halacha Moshe Misinai. That vado also sveka mutter doesn't only apply to orla b'chutz l'aretz. The Rambam says that it applies to every halacha Moshe Misinai. That every suffik halacha Moshe Misinai is lekula. So the Ramban taina said that's scandalous. What is he talking about? Halacha Moshe Misinai is revealed in deraisa. Suffik deraisa lechumre. The Gemara just said that there's one from all of the many many halachas of Moshe Misinai. There's one, namely Arla B'chutz L'aretz, what we say, that Safik Arla B'chutz L'aretz is L'Hakim. How did the Rambam come off to say that every Safik Halacha Moshe Misina is L'Hakim? The Gemara only said it by Arla. So that's the Ramban's disagreement with the Rambam. So the later Achlayim point out, they're not sure exactly where is this Rambam that the Ramban is attacking. The Rambam doesn't exist, but the Rambam is not in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and yes, they don't know exactly where it says it in the Mishnah Torah, so it's a phantom Rambam. The Ramban is attacking the Rambam that the Rambam said, innocent, where the Rambam didn't say anything. Where did the Rambam say that a Sofek Halacha L'Moshe Misina, every Sofek Halacha L'Moshe Misina is L'Kula. So the later Achronim already discovered the Rambam. There's a Sefer by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim from the Al-Ghazi family, very interesting Sefer, every 50 years it's reprinted. Sefer, the title of the Sefer is Ara de Rabban. So it was written in the 1700s when the Jews started writing encyclopedias, alphabetically arranged. The Chidor wrote the encyclopedias. And the Pachad Yitzchok has his encyclopedia, La Prenti. And others wrote Malachi is an encyclopedia alphabetically arranged. And other Gedolim at that time, starting in the 1700s, it occurred to them to write encyclopedias alphabetically arranged, instead of just writing Shtiklos Torah. So one of the Algazi family has a Sefer Ara de Rabbanan where he goes alphabetically, goes Aleph to Tav. He lists off every din in the Gemara and he tells you, is it a din d'oraisa, is it a din d'rabbanan, or is it a machlokes? And he gives you all the sources. So he discusses this topic also. Where is the Rambam that the Ramban was attacking? Where in the world did the Rambam say that every Sufik halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is l'kula? The earlier Achronim were not aware of the Rambam. So he says it's a Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos. The Mishnah says in Mikvos that a mikveh has to have 40 saw. And if somebody was tovel in a mikveh and he's not sure if the mikveh had 40 saw or not, so he has to be tovel again, because the need, the requirement for 40 saw in a mikveh is a din d'araisa and safik d'araisa l'chumra. So the Rambam writes, even though the shear of mem saw is only shiurim, is shiurim ha'halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and he sounds like he's asking Akasha that a Suffolk halacha l'moshe m'Sinai should really be l'kula. That's what his kasha, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, when he quotes that Mishnah from Mikvos, so he sounds like he's bothered with this kasha. Why does the Mishnah say that if a person was tovel in a mikveh, Suffolk yesh bo mem saw, Suffolk yesh bo mem saw, lo yosa lo tvila, that you say Suffolk deraita l'chumre, but the need for the mem saw is only halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? All the shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Why is it shiurim chatzik to mechitzin halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? So the Rambam says it's a different kind of halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. He says here the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is defining what the pasuk in Chumash means. The pasuk says a person whose tummy has to be tovel in a mikveh. So the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai says that mikveh that's spoken of in the Chumash and the Torah Shel Chassav has to have mem saw. But if you have a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that's an independent halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, it's not that it's interpreting pshat in a pasuk in Chumash, like Orla v'chutzlot or anything like that, then the Rambam is mashman that every sofik halacha l'moshe m'Sinai would be l'kula. So it's interesting, the Rambam clearly assumes that there are at least two major differences between a din of the Torah Shabbat Peh that's known through halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, as opposed to a din of the Torah Shabbat Peh that's nidrash, by reading in between the lines. The first nafkamin we said was the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, at the end of his Zvachim, where the Rambam says you can't have a punishment of Koris. One who's menasech mehachad bechad, bachutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, is yichayev Koris, is yichayev chatas b'shegeg, from mala bachutz or not. So the Rambam understood in the Gemara that it depends. If it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, there is no Koris. Can't have a chorus on halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. But if it's learned out through the midrash ha'tar and the drashes, then there would be chorus. And the second afkamina the Rambam holds is whether sofik l'chumra. On a sofik halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, the Rambam's opinion, the Ramban is masik on the Rambam, but the Rambam's opinion is that every sofik halacha l'moshe m'Sinai should be l'kula, except if halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is coming to interpret pshat and a pasik, as opposed to another din of the Torah Shabbat Peh, where you're darshaning by reading in between the lines, that would be a real din d'araisa. Then you would certainly say the sofik d'araisa l'chumra. The Rambam writes yet, the Rambam has five categories of Torah Shabbat Peh. We'll just concentrate on three. So the Rambam has the first category of Torah Shabbat Peh is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. That's literally parchas bo'avir, just transmitted from generation to generation. And as the Mishnah uses the expression, the end of the first paragraph of Chagiga, ein lahem al meshi yismochu. There's no method whereby to derive this din by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. And then you have the Midrash HaTorah and the Rosh Hashanah. And then the Rambam has another category of Torah Shabbat Peh, all of the dinim derabbanan. What do you mean, all the dinim derabbanan? That's the derabbanan. That's not the Natur. So how does that become, what does it mean that that's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh? Dinim derabbanan or derabbanan? I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave the Shurma Maria, spent many, many, many years learning brachas. Most of brachas deals with dinim derabbanan. Then he spent quite a few years learning Megillah. And most of Ruba derubah, Maseches Megillah, deals with dinim derabbanan. I remember after spending so many years on all of these dinim derabbanan, he posed a question in one of the shiurim, that why did we spend so much time learning dinim derabbanan, which on the level of the rice and non-existence of Minat Torah, it's really little Torah. It's only Talmud Torah with the Rabbanim. Why do we learn Zvachim and Menachas? That has like 95% of it is Dinam Deraisa. You have a couple of Dinam Derabbanim here and there also. But it would have been less Bittul Torah Deraisa and more Talmud Torah Deraisa. So he said it rubs him the wrong way to say like that. He can't believe that when you learn Dinam Derabbanim and it's Menachas Torah, it's Bittul Torah, it's only Talmud Torah Derabbanim. He can't believe that. So he developed a theme that all of the Dinam Derabbanim become a Cheft of Torah Shabbat Pen Deraisa. So although the Chayvus HaGavra to observe the Dinam Derabbanan, the obligation to observe the Dinam Derabbanan is only with the Rabbanan, but it becomes a Chelek of Torah Shabbat Peh Minat Torah. So whoever learns these Dinam Derabbanan is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Minat Torah. How can you draw such a distinction between you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Minat Torah by learning the Dinam Derabbanan, but the obligation to observe these Dinam Derabbanan, the obligation to observe it is only with the Rabbanan? How can he say such a thing? So he gave as a dugma, as a mashal, the Gemara says, regarding the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we know in advance we're going to pass them like Beis Hillel. We know the Beis Shammai were outvoted. So the Gemara says, when we study the opinions of Beis Shammai, we shouldn't consider it bitul Torah. The Gemara says, Elu v'elu divi elu kim chai. What do you mean, Elu v'elu? Doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to. The Gemara says, "Asa k'divrei Beis Shammai, asa v'lo klum." We absolutely do not paskin like Beis Shammai. Even b'shas atzchak, you cannot be mitzar Beis Shammai shita to anything. We paskin like Beis Hillel. So what do you mean? Elu v'elu divrei kim chai means when a person studies Gemara and he's studying a whole sugi where they're going to discuss the opinions of Beis Shammai, he shouldn't think that that's bittul Torah at all. No, that's a it's a chetzer shel Torah, even though there's no chavis agav at all, even though you're forbidden to follow Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to follow Beis Shammai, but it constitutes a Cheftzer Shel Torah. So it's nish gefrelich to say that the Dinam Derabbanan become a Cheftzer Shel Torah Min HaTorah. When one studies these Dinam Derabbanan, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Min HaTorah. Even though the Chavis HaGavah to observe these Dinam is clearly not going to be Min HaTorah. The Chavis HaGavah to observe it is clearly only Min HaTorah. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. The Gemara says many times, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, when the Chachamim instituted Din Derabbanan, they have to be careful to pattern all the Dinam Derabbanan after Dinam Deraisa. Why? Why do you have to be so careful to pattern after Dinam Deraisa? The answer is because these Dinam Derabbanan are going to become a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And Allah assumes that all of Torah blends in to constitute one big mosaic, one big system. So if you're going to institute Dinam Derabbanan that don't fall under any category deraisa, it's not patterned after anything deraisa, how's it going to become a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh Min HaTorah? That's why the Chachamim insisted, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came deraisa Tikkun. And you have several sugyas where the Gemara quotes Dinam Derabbanan to demonstrate what a Din deraisa was. And the fact that the Chachamim made such a Din Derabbanan is a hechacha that before they made that Din Derabbanan, there was originally a Din deraisa XYZ. And based on that Din Deraisa, that's why they had a right to pattern this Din Derabbanan after that. So just in summary, the celebration of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is assumed to be a historical celebration where the entire Klal Yisrael would declare their allegiance to the Torah Shabbat Peh, and it was instituted at the time that they had the Tzdukim and the Baisusim who were denying the existence of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the rest of the Klal Yisrael would be mechazeket by dancing and singing and tumbling the whole sukkahs to demonstrate that they do subscribe. And that's why Hillel in the Mishnah is quoted as saying, the Gemara quotes, Hillel was a very humble person. And nonetheless, when it came to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he was dancing and singing and said, "Ani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, then everything is okay." Well, what do you mean, if I'm here, everything is okay? Because he represented Torah Shabbat Peh. So he said, if I'm the center of attraction, then we're in good hands. Agut Yantav.
Hi.